Welcome to The Big Day, the ultimate life coaching resource for all eight areas of your life. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Good morning, DFW Metroplex, and good morning, America. It's a beautiful morning here at the KLIF Studios in Victory Plaza in Dallas. My name is Heather Lester. I'm creative director for The Big Day, and I will be your host for the show this morning. The Big Day is the ultimate life coaching resource for all eight areas of your life. And if you'd like to know more about The Big Day or about our core concepts like the eight areas of your life or the 11 cornerstones, which will actually help you move forward in life, then go ahead and visit our website. It's readyforthebigday.com. You can also listen to our previous radio episodes if you missed them or want to hear them again, which I totally encourage you to do. But we also have a book available on Amazon. Just search for The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple. And we'll be talking more about the book later on today, so stay tuned for that. Also, if you'd like quick tips on how to improve yourself or your quality of life, and if you'd like them conveniently delivered to your inbox, which who doesn't, then I encourage you to join our mailing list on our website. You'll be notified whenever we have new blog posts and anything new that we have or promotions that we have going on with The Big Day, you'll also get notified about that. So they're all designed to equip you to increase your level of success and fulfillment. So don't wait to check it out. Again, that's readyforthebigday.com. Okay, so let's get to it. Joining me in the studio today is Charlotte Brenneman. She's the founder and director of the Inner Room Pastoral Marriage Counseling and Inner Healing. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
So you've been in counseling for over 10 years now, is that correct?
Yes, about 10 years. I actually started in the inner healing field, and then the more that we worked on the emotions and getting the emotions healed up, I realized that there was still a need for just some relational skills.
That's really good, and that's true.
And so then we kind of moved into just relational pastoral marriage counseling.
So how long has the inner room been in?
The inner room was established in 2012.
And it's a great ministry, you guys. So feel free to check that out as well. So great to have you here today, Charlotte. I'm excited about our topic. You know, here at The Big Day, we're all about the ultimate preparation for your future. From the book to the blog, the website, and our radio show, our vision is to be a personal life coach and resource platform that exists to create a culture of leaders who are successful physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Those are the four areas of personal success. We also have more information about that on our blog on the website. So today, though, we're going to focus on the mental and emotional health and success, which I think health and success are pretty synonymous there. Before we begin, I'd first like to ask everyone a question. And that is, do you plan on being more mentally and emotionally healthy tomorrow than you are today? Of course, who wouldn't want to be?
Who wouldn't want to be?
So the answer is probably yes. And in which case, the next key question to ask yourself is, do you know how you're going to be more mentally and emotionally healthy tomorrow? That's why today is the big day. Today is your God-given opportunity to make the most of what you have right now and multiply it into something more fruitful tomorrow. The good news is, if we understand how to do this, then the other areas of our life are going to flourish as well, because our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health are all interconnected. So really, it's a win-win-win-win, which is great. So how do we produce good fruit in our thought life, and how can we become more fruitful in dealing with our emotions? It's a huge topic, and that answer actually lies in the topic for today, which is the power of thoughts, the value of feelings. And I love that. So thank you, Charlotte, for bringing this in for us today. So I'm excited to talk about just both the power of thoughts and the value of feelings, but let's begin with the power of thoughts. So did you know that your thoughts have power? And why is that? Charlotte, did you know that your thoughts had power? And when did you first discover that they did?
Well, I actually learned that after I was introduced to Dr. Caroline Leaf and her book, The Brain? Question mark. She's devoted over 25 years of her life to really studying the brain and has come to realize that our thoughts are tangible things. They're real living things that take up real estate in our brains.
Wow.
And so just YouTube Dr. Caroline Leaf, read the book. It's amazing. It's fascinating.
That's awesome. So I guess that she calls, and she's discovered that in science they're called the magic trees of the mind, because the neurons and nerve cells in our brains actually look like trees. Is that right?
That's correct. Right. We're literally growing thoughts like a tree, and it begins to branch off.
Okay, so about how many, like, tell me more about, like, the nerve cells in our brains and, like, how that grows and the thought structure and things like that.
Okay, well, we have about 100 billion nerve cells in our brains, and each one of those can grow up to about 2,000 branches.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is 3 million years worth of space in our brains to build memory.
3 million years. I don't know if I can remember all that.
I don't know how to work all that.
I barely remember breakfast, you know?
Right.
Cool. So, okay. So the 3 million years worth of space in our brains to build memory, but the process of the unconscious mind is building memory as we speak.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Every single thing that you hear, whether it comes in through any one of your five senses, what you're thinking about is creating structure in your brain. These choices are actually converting so that thought literally begins to grow and to look like a tree in your brain.
So basically, we take in information in our subconscious or conscious, and it begins to form a structure in our brain, like a literal, tangible kind of a structure. And that structure, the thought, begins to form branches. We form branches off of the thought and everything, and it just kind of grows from there.
And then it builds from there, yes.
Okay, so I guess that's what it means that, you know, our thoughts are not harmless things. Like, they actually carry some kind of a weight. They actually affect us chemically, just in the brain, and how the brain begins to release certain chemicals to the rest of our body.
Right. We were actually, science has determined that we were really created for love, that everything in our brain has chemical reactions and responses that are made for the positive. And so as we have these thoughts, we are designed to have the positive thoughts to grow like the thick, rich forest looking, you know, type of tree. But we have the choice, if we begin to really partner with and meditate and spend time thinking on the negative thoughts, we're literally building trees, because that's the way we're designed to have these structures. But they just look like toxic, dead, kind of like the difference in driving down the highway and seeing a beautiful green, flourishing, wooded space and driving down the same way after the wildfire has gone through, just charred and devoid of life.
Wow, that's crazy. So our thoughts will literally have that kind of power in our bodies.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about that and, like, the power of your thought.
Mm-hmm.
The power of your thought, it will actually produce good or bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the power that a thought has, is to produce the fruit that is either good or bad, and that you get, and that gets down to the gene level, right?
That gets down to the gene level, which begins to even impact the health of your body, because what's going on in your brain is transmitted into your body, and then your body actually starts to have physical reactions. So much of the disease and the sickness in our life, they've determined, science has come up with, that 87% to 95% of our current mental, emotional, and physical illnesses come from our thought life.
That's crazy.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So
we're finding out some biblical principles are scientifically proven
to be true. Proven now, yes.
And I think that's a great reason why, you know, in the scriptures, like, God says to set your mind on things above, right?
Exactly.
Because that's where there's perfect healing, perfect health, perfect love, perfect peace, perfect joy, all of that. There's a reason that we're designed to set our minds on things above like that. Because it literally will affect your health on the earth. It will affect your body and the way that you function.
Yes.
And it will affect your emotions, which we'll get into later. So when we make bad choices or think bad thoughts, tell me what begins to happen.
There's actually a chemical factory in our brains. So in order to grow these branches, we have all this input that's going into our brain, which is like electricity. And when the electrical impulses come to the brain, our brains secrete chemicals. And then you have developed an electrical chemical reaction. And when that happens, these branches start to grow. So the branches are holding all the memory that's related and all of its grouped together in that tree. So it's a whole network of emotions. And we are designed with the chemicals to grow love. But when we have the negative emotions...
What's a negative emotion?
The negative emotions are fear, anger, hatred, insecurity, depression, anxiety, hopelessness. We're holding on to those types of thoughts, that then, because we don't have the chemicals in our brain, we were not designed for those types of emotions.
We weren't designed to hold that
kind. That type of emotion. So we have chemicals in our brain that are released to correlate with love and compassion and peace and happiness and joy. So since we don't have the chemicals that correlate with these negative emotions, our brain starts to release more and more and more and more of the closest connecting. So instead of love chemicals, when we have fear, the closest opposite thing to that is just we need love. So we're just dumping more and more and more and more love chemical, and they're trying to convert the fear to love. But that creates a chemical imbalance, throws our brains into chaos.
Kind of like robbing Peter to serve Paul or whatever it is.
Yes, yes. And then there's literally an inflammation that starts to happen in your brain.
Because that one part of you had all of that love or all of those chemicals kind of released from it, and it needed that. And so to take it away from that, it causes the inflammation.
Just, yes, hyper-dumping things in there that don't belong there. Just overdosing. We're really just overdosing a negative thing with a lot of the positive thing begins to create, yes, that imbalance.
Okay. So about how long do we have before something would begin to take root?
That's the beautiful thing about it. Every time these negative thoughts come into our brain, we have 48 hours that we can get some truth around that. We can change that perspective before it starts to really build that structure in our brain. So you have 48 hours to cast that thought down and let it become, you know, a positive structure in your brain instead of a negative, destructive one.
Okay. And so you said, you know, wrap truth around that. Tell me what you mean by wrap truth around that. So if someone is starting to deal with like a negative thought, or like they have an emotion and they want to get to the thought of it, like how do you begin to wrap truth around that?
Well, for me, scripture is my number one place for truth. I always just go back to the word and let the word just wash over me, and I just take in, you know, the positive of the word. You can also just really sit down and seriously consider, do I really want to hold on to this thought? This is where you get to make a choice.
That's
death
good.
Has presented itself, but you don't have to hold on to that. You don't have to accept
You don't have
that.
To eat the fruit of the
you
tree
You don't have
of
to
death.
Eat the fruit of that. Exactly. Exactly. You can make the choice. And so you can disagree with that. And you can, again, just the value of those, just the self value statements that you speak of yourself, just really understanding your identity, your value, speaking those positive things of yourself, focusing on those things, is a way to cast down the negative thoughts.
You know, I'm really glad that you bring up, you know, what you say over yourself. And, you know, in The Big Day, we talk about that. Chapter 11 is talking about practicing being led by the Spirit of God. And one of the things that we really need to be led by the Spirit of God in is our thought life. You know, like you said, we have to disagree with a negative thought so it doesn't become this structure that actually has an effect in our brain and in the rest of our body. We take that and we disagree with that thought, and we need to wrap truth around it. So, you know, like you're saying, like, how do I see myself? You know, and Mr. Ripple, who wrote The Big Day, is a powerful believer in the power of thoughts. You know, I mean, he's a strong believer in that. And he suggests that he brings up the five most important questions to ask yourself every day. And it kind of goes along with this topic. We've talked about it in previous radio episodes, but I'll bring it up again today. It says the five most important questions to ask yourself every day are, number one, what are you expecting today? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, we're talking about our thoughts and what even, and that totally goes into what we speak, you know, because some of us speak our mind more than others. But, you know, what are you expecting today? And I think that goes into, what are you thinking about? You know, what are your expectations? What are your thoughts? Where are they planted? And then the second question is, how do you see yourself today? And I'll get more into that in just a second. But that's a powerful thought. How do you see yourself today? That's going to grow one structure or another kind of tree in your mind that's going to produce fruit. So it's important to think about that. Number three, what are you doing today to improve yourself? that just, I feel like that just waters the seed, you know, and helps that tree to grow. Number four, what words are you speaking today to frame your future? That's a powerful question.
So glad you brought that up, because that's, we're going to talk about that in a minute, the power of our words, not just our thoughts, but our words.
Okay, I'm excited about that. Okay, so we'll get right there in a second. Okay, so, and then number five is, are you treating this day as the most important day of your life? That's a powerful question too, you know, I mean, that'll really put things into perspective. So, you know, as you're asking yourself these five questions every day, I encourage everyone to do that. You know, think of how you see yourself. And Mr. Whipple has some great examples that he put together as just a guideline that, you know, we encourage everybody else to begin to make a list. How do you see yourself? For example, he has, I see myself as a successful investor, a great sower of finances, a wise coach to my team. He sees himself as accountable, transparent, authentically humble, which is great. Mm-hmm. He sees himself as influential. And I think that, you know, this goes for a lot of us. You know, we want to see ourselves become more successful, but what does that look like? You know, I think about that a lot. You know, I want to be sincere. I really value authenticity. I want to be authentic with people. And I want to be somebody who has life to share with somebody. You know, I don't want to be somebody that takes away from somebody else. So for me, that's kind of how I see myself. And like you said, like we're talking about truth. Truth is really a very powerful thing meant for mental health and emotional health and physical health and the rest of it, obviously spiritual health. But for example, I see myself made in God's image. Mm-hmm. You know, we are created by the Creator,
right,
and we are made in His image. And, you know, we carry these things of the power of thoughts and words and emotions. And I see myself walking in God's wisdom, making quality decisions, developing my faith to do the impossible. Tons of things and examples that how we see ourselves and how they begin to develop. So tell me real quick, how our thoughts affect our words and just like the, just how that begins to connect, how our words become powerful.
Okay. Well, we're releasing, just as our thoughts are real, intangible, they take up real estate in our brain, our thoughts, and we'll get into this, the quantum physics about our words, that our words have the power to change the molecular structure of water.
Wow.
We just don't understand how powerful our words are, and the necessity for our beliefs to be in line so that we can speak things that we want to receive and to see change and happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the power of the positive is that there are 1,400 chemicals and physical responses that are happening in your body when you start to partner with fear and stress.
Wow.
And it's a killer.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I actually want to get more into this. We're about to hit a commercial break here. So what do our thoughts and emotions have to do with physics? Well, we're about to find out, so stick around right after this.
Let me introduce you to the new book, The Big Day That Can Change Your Life. If there was a hall of fame for saying ridiculous things, do you think you'd be in it? We've all had words fly out of our mouth that we wish we could take back. It never leaves us feeling good, and it doesn't seem that dealing with the aftermath is a hobby for anyone. It's a fact of life that what comes out of us is just the fruit of what's inside of us. How would you like to see your life transformed from the inside out? The truth is, you're better than you think you are. Changing your perspective of yourself will not only change the words you speak, but your actions and emotions as well. As your personal life coach, the book, The Big Day, will take you on a journey of retraining your words and, most importantly, believing in the greatness of who you're meant to be. Don't wait another day. Buy your copy of The Big Day by Robert Whipple on Amazon today.
Welcome back to The Big Day. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Welcome back, everybody. We're discussing the power of thoughts and the value of feelings. We haven't gotten into the value of feelings yet, but we're talking about the power of thoughts and how that affects us mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually. How does the power of thoughts relate to physics? That's an interesting question. Definitely something that you don't usually talk about on the radio. So we've talked about how thoughts are real. They're tangible matter that take up real estate in our brains, and they actually affect our chemical functioning in the body and everything. So thoughts are real matter, and they create an electrical flow straight to the gene level. Is that right, Charlotte?
That's correct.
So they can activate either the good or the bad genes, and because it's an electrical flow, it also sends off an electrical impulse. So don't check out on us, guys. I know this is getting a little technical, but the value of this and the principle behind it is really powerful. It's basically just proving the way that we function and how, you know, we think of thought as an intangible reality, but in actual reality, it affects us very much. You know, talking about that electrical impulse, how does a thought relate to physics? Tell me, Charlotte.
Okay. The way that a thought relates to physics is that quantum physics is just the study of the smallest particles.
So it relates to quantum physics, no less.
Yes. Oh, yes. Exactly. Quantum physics. And so quantum physics, first principle is that we are made up of energy and that everything is made up of energy.
Everything?
Everything is completely comprised of energy particles that are held together by light, including our words.
So, and when you say everything and we're held together by light, we're mostly nothing.
Exactly.
Plus some particles that are held together by light.
Yes. And I would really encourage you to get Robin Perry Braun's book. She really brings this down to where the average person can read and begin to really value and appreciate and actually get excited about quantum physics. It's called A Believer's Guide to Law and Attraction. She has another book, 30 Days to Peace and Joy. And both of those are really powerful.
That's amazing.
You understand. Yes, the power of the words.
And you know, you brought up an interesting topic, and that actually is our talking point number two, is the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And what we've talked about in the big day a lot is the law of attraction. You know, one of the biggest points that we make is the wisdom of God is to speak words that will begin to attract what you want to attract into your life, right?
Exactly.
And so when we have thoughts, tell me a little bit more about how our words begin to attract things. And like,
okay, well, and just like you said, we want to attract the positive things. So just being aware of whatever we're focusing on, whatever we're feeling, whatever we're thinking, the words that we're speaking, we are attracting like-mindedness. And so if we are releasing the negative, if we are thinking the negative, if we are on the Debbie Downer day, or if we are in the helpless, hopeless place, that's the type of thing that we're going to attract. And then the more of that we attract, of course, the deeper we're going to go in that direction.
Which is not...
is not the direction
great.
We want to be going.
Yeah,
right,
it could
exactly.
be good or bad. And so, you know, with quantum physics, one of the first principle of it is that we're made up of energy, right?
Yes.
And everything is made up of energy, and that includes our words. And like you're saying, so if we have an energy on our words, all of our words have energy. Would you agree?
Well, yes. And even speaking of energy, that kind of takes us to the quantum physics principle number two, that all energy, everything is made up of energy, and it all has a vibration frequency. So everything that exists gives off a frequency. It's not just sound. Even inanimate objects have a frequency. Did you know that the frequency of a healthy body is actually measured at 62 to 78 megahertz?
I did not know that.
Disease can set in atmospheres of 59 megahertz. Cold and flu symptoms begin at 58 megahertz. Epstein-Barr sets in. And cancer comes in at 4 megahertz.
Or 42.
42.
Yeah, I think, that's really interesting because basically our body has a frequency. It's
yes.
giving off some kind of a vibration. And, you know, I guess it's where we get good vibes or whatever. is because there's a high level frequency going on that you're beginning to emanate. Is that correct?
Yes. And so much of this energy has been discounted for different reasons.
Right.
Especially, you know, for the most part, in the world of the believers in the church. I mean, they've just discounted a lot of this about the energy and have discounted it and given it credit for other things. But you can't deny the reality of what is in existence and what they're able to prove. And so just understanding this frequency helps you go, oh, my goodness, I really do have the ability to take input of the positive, the higher frequencies to shift my body, which will literally shift things within me. I can fight off disease just by my thought life. I can actually fight off disease just even by the music that I listen to. There's a huge difference in one style of music versus another style of music. I actually came across Michael Tyrell's music. He has albums called Whole Tones, and he has come to understand the frequency of the music shifts, has the ability to literally shift and bring healing into bodies, because you're increasing. They're all in the much higher frequencies, and it's literally impacting. As those music things flow through your body, it's shifting literally diseases and sickness and emotions.
Wow.
And so working with it is powerful.
Yeah. Like it reminds me of the word where it's, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be taken literally. Like his frequency is a higher level. And what he's wanting us to do is to come up to his level. And I think that just beginning to get in the presence of God, you're gonna feel that frequency in his, and it is a spiritual reality, but
yes,
it does affect the physical world. And you know, that's why The Big Day is such a key book right now, because you know, there's a lot of like self-help books out there, but you're either going to get the spiritual or you're going to get the natural, and most books don't have both. And that's what The Big Day is really honed in on, is the natural and the spiritual. Life is 100% natural and it's 100% spiritual, and they're two overlapping realities. And this is just a key principle and real powerful testimony of, you know, how our thought life really does affect and our spiritual life too, really does affect our natural life.
Yes.
Which I love that. And so so disease can't even be maintained in a high frequency environment. Is that right?
Exactly.
And that's incredible. So when you start thinking those thoughts, I mean, and that's the power of thoughts, is like you can begin to change your structure and what your of your body and what your body experiences as you take in and begin to really discipline and retrain your thought life.
Yes. Yes. And even to the power of words, and the power of thought, all these electrical impulses. I'd made the comment earlier that your thoughts actually have the power to change the molecular structure of water.
Why is that important?
Yes, that's very important because we are made up of, what, 60% of our body? Is
60% water, at
water,
least, I guess.
Mm-hmm, at least. But there's a Dr. Masaru Emoto did an experiment, and he took water samples from a polluted river in Japan. And he subjected them to different treatments. Some he introduced to classical music, some to heavy metal music, some to prayers, some to negative and critical words, others to positive, encouraging words. And on some samples, he didn't even speak. He simply taped words onto the vial that held the water, but nothing was spoken. So there were no sound waves. They were just thoughts.
Just thoughts.
Just thoughts.
Okay.
No words are even spoken. And then after an equal amount of time, he quick froze the water, he cut samples from the ice, and he placed it under a microscope. And I want to encourage you to go on YouTube and look at what Dr. Emoto's images show you, the difference, how the water was literally shifted from polluted and dead and
gross,
nasty, yes, to the most intricate, beautiful, kind of like snowflake designs.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable. Wow. I think he used an example of the difference of the sample where they taped the word Hitler and where they taped the word Mother Frances, where they spoke love.
Mother Teresa.
I'm so sorry. I'm onto my picture thing now. I've left my words. and the difference between pasting hate on one vial and love on the other. And so the pictures speak 1,000 words. I would really encourage you to
look that up
and just watch his experiments. So when you see that, it's like it's literally changing the effects of water. It's like, oh my goodness, now I can actually envision the power of my words as I release them.
That's
that I
really
have
good.
The ability to shift atmospheres and to change.
Like
literally,
you literally have have that power to shape and create your reality based on just your thought life, and that's a powerful, you know, example. And I know we're using this word powerful a lot, but it's true because it actually does have power. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, you're talking about just how water's affected, and we are 60% water, so they say. So imagine the power of your thoughts. Imagine the power of your words. You know, going back to the five most important questions to ask yourself, you know, how do I see myself? What words am I speaking today that frame my future? That will literally change the course of your tomorrow. And that's why today is your big day, because you have the power to change what your tomorrow is going to look like based on what you're thinking and what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Tell me about quantum physics principle number three.
Oh, number three is that like attracts like. So in the workplace, your personal life, whatever it is that you're carrying is what you're emanating. And what you're emanating is what you will attract.
And you kind of had a perspective change on the name it, claim it thing, right?
I used to just so discount the whole name it and claim it because I didn't have that understanding behind it. And that's what has been so exciting to me about this, because my whole paradigm has completely shifted now that I have imagery, now that the results
documentation
are in. Exactly. It's like, oh my goodness, I can't deny what's in front of me. I can't deny what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And so it's just opened my mind up to realize I've already known that the emotions that you carry, the emotions that you're feeling, the thoughts that you're having do impact the way that you're able to carry yourself through the course of the day, or how mm-hmm. you're able to just even present yourself. And especially in I know that all about the life coaching and just really wanting to be the very best you that you can possibly be, mm-hmm. Because it also, the better you become, then it's also impacting your relationships, and we're created for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so... just understanding what it is that I'm emanating, because that's what I'm attracting. And when I look around at what I'm attracting, you get to ask yourself, is this really what I want to attract? You're not a victim. You're not powerless. You now have the ability to change your thoughts. Your beliefs can change, which are going to send off the chemicals that are going to just begin to impact you physically. The things that you're carrying are sending off electrical impulses that are shifting and changing even people around you.
That's
you
know? Amazing. And I think that's partly why, you know, we attract certain things into our life, as you're saying, because you're giving off a certain frequency and a certain, level of frequency. And that's what will begin to, it's like a magnetic draw, you know, like attracts like, it wants to be together, you know? So if I want to attract more of health or more of joy or more of peace in my life, then are you saying that I should set my thoughts on peace and joy and things like that?
Well, and that goes back to the list that you were sharing earlier, just about the disciplines and the spiritual principles, you know, mm-hmm. of our lives. Let that be your goal. Let that be the thing that's in front of you. Let that be the new standard. And then, again, being able to shift that thought when those negative things come in that are contrary to what you know are true,
mm-hmm.
just begin to speak those true things over you and align that's trying to come in up with what you've already determined is a good thing to agree with.
That's really good.
And so.
And I think that you just hit a point recently, or just a few minutes ago, about that you're powerful. And I kind of wanted to get into that. And we're about to head into another short commercial break. When we come back, we'll tell you how to deal with your emotions, what they have to tell you about your beliefs, and how you're powerful to change it.
Yay.
Hello, this is Robert Whipple, the author of The Big Day. And I wanted to introduce to you Daniel DePinto.
Thanks. I'm a student at Texas Tech University. I'm studying musical theater and currently taking 18 hours of class, along with 25 hours of theater and an additional 15 hours of studying every week. With that said, you can imagine what my schedule looks like. But when it comes to managing my time, the book The Big Day has been a lifeline. Not only has it taught me how to manage my time effectively, but I've also learned how to thrive in every area of my life. Not just in school. With relatable stories and sometimes painfully true statistics, The Big Day really teaches practical and applicable lessons no matter who you are or what your schedule's like. I highly recommend you get a copy of the book and try it out for yourself. You won't be the same. The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple, available on Amazon today.
Welcome back to The Big Day. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Heather Lester, Creative Director for The Big Day, and I have in the studio with me Charlotte Brenneman. She's the founder of Inner Room Freedom Ministry. Is that correct?
That's good.
Yes. Awesome. So we are just discussing the power of our thoughts and how it affects us. And, you know, I wanted to bring up another point. And, you know, in the Bible, it also says in Job 22 that you will declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. And another verse in Proverbs 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And, you know, as we're talking about thoughts and just like the frequency, the, you know, the wavelengths and everything that comes off of our words because of our thoughts, you know, I just thought it was really a really good thing to kind of take in, just that you will declare a thing and it will be established. And I think that goes along with what we were saying, like attracts like, you know, you're going to declare something and that's the kind of thing that will be established in your life. So, you know, a lot of things that we experience, maybe we don't know the thought behind it, or maybe we don't understand the belief that's affecting the thought, that's affecting our words. But we might be able to pick up on it in our emotions.
Exactly.
What do we do about our feelings? You know, how do we value them, and how does that relate to our belief system? And so we're going to get into talking point number three, which is the value of emotions. And who knew that emotions were valuable?
Absolutely. Most people completely discount them, don't they, and shove them.
And maybe some women on the other hand, and we can relate to the value of emotions. But emotions, you know, we were talking about how I see myself, and one of the things was we're made in God's image, and God is an emotional God. I mean, he created emotions. So there's a place and a way to properly deal with them. Is that right?
Yes.
So tell me, what is it about my emotions that relates to my beliefs?
Okay. Well, I found it fascinating once I was able to understand that emotions really are neither good nor bad.
Okay.
People typically put emotions, you know, and they're okay to have the good ones, and it's not okay to have the bad ones. But if you begin to understand that emotions are simply indicators of a true belief system, on the gas, the fuel tank in your car, empty is not necessarily bad. I would rather see it. I would rather have the indicator that I'm on empty than to not have the indicator and suddenly learn in the middle of the desert that I'm on empty.
That's
you know?
True.
So instead of trying to suppress these negative feelings, just understand that they're an invitation. So to embrace them, because there is a belief that is driving every emotion that we have. Back to our opening point about the power of our thoughts.
Okay.
There is a belief that drives every emotion. We operate from this dual belief system. For example, if I believe that there are snakes under my bed, I'm not going to put my feet on the floor. Why not? Because I believe there are snakes under my bed. So it doesn't have to be true.
And I believe that they're going to bite me.
And they're going to bite me. Exactly. I am not a fan of snakes. And so I don't want my feet down there with them. So it doesn't have to be true. The effect will be the same. If I believe that that's what's going to happen, the outcome is going to be the same as if it were real. And so that's the value of being able to determine what our true belief system is. What are we really believing? And the emotions are the indicators to help us understand that.
That's an amazing point. You know, so our emotions basically are pointers that point back to what our beliefs are.
Yes.
There'll be indicator, like you said, an indicator. So so basically the value of our emotions is that they'll tell us kind of what we're beginning to believe. And if we allow ourselves to get to that place of what we believe, then going back to the first and second talking points, we can begin to change our reality the way it should be.
Yes. And speaking of emotions, the ones that I'm primarily wanting to really highlight today are the really negative ones that we talked about earlier. Our brain doesn't even have chemicals mm-hmm. to secrete to grow those types of trees. Because we weren't designed for the negative. There are truth-based emotions. Sadness and grief, those mm-hmm. are real and legitimate. Those are not lie-based emotions or feelings. But the anxiety, the depression, the hopelessness, the fear, the helplessness, powerlessness, inadequacy, I'm not loved, I'm not valued, I can't do it, all of those negative emotions, we're not designed for those. So those types of emotions are always an indicator that we are believing a lie. The problem with a lie is the lie feels true. That's why the lie works, because it feels true. Mm. When we have a feeling of fear or anxiety or worthlessness, we have not been trained. We have not been taught. We don't understand the value of knowing how to process that emotion, going backwards to determine what the belief is. Where did I learn it?
Yeah. So tell me about that. Like, you know, we were talking about going backwards and, you know, we were talking earlier and you said something about, you know, growing up and how, you know, you're taking it down to the very simplest form and every nanosecond in your life and everything like that. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, understanding that we always operate, for the most part, with a dual belief system. We have this head belief knowledge, and we actually think that we believe that, but then we have an experiential.
Like a heart knowledge.
A heart knowledge that shows up and exposes what our true belief system is. For example, I can believe that that God is sufficient to supply all of my needs.
And then I think that you believe that.
Actually, the part of me really does believe that.
That's,
you know, my brain actually, parts of my brain actually believe that.
That tree's producing fruit.
Yes, because I believe the scriptures and the scriptures are true and I stand on the scriptures, you know? So I believe that God is sufficient to supply all of my needs until I report to work and learn that I no longer have a job.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so my emotional response in that moment has just exposed my true belief system. If there is anything at all present in that moment less than the perfect peace of Christ, I have just been exposed, and what I really experientially believe has just surfaced. When that thing in the pit of your stomach shows up and now you're feeling panicked, you're worried, you're trying to, you know, oh my goodness, is my resume up to date? How am I going to get this out? The bills are due tomorrow, rent, cars, children, food. When you start to go to that place, you're not operating from what you thought was your true belief place, is that God is sufficient to supply all my needs, because something else has just shown up. It's kind of like that negative emotion that showed up in that moment is kind of like the peanut-covered M&M, where the other, that the Lord is sufficient to supply all my needs, would be just like the normal M&M. So what is the difference between the normal M&M and the peanut M&M?
Well, there's a peanut in one.
There's a great big peanut in one. One is a lot bigger, yes, than the other one. It's also...
it's kind of like inflamed in a way, right?
Yes. For example, an ingrown toenail. What's the difference between a normal toe and a toe with an ingrown toenail?
Well, the other one hurts a lot.
The other one hurts a lot. It's constantly throbbing, and it's very sensitive to touch. You touch that toe with the ingrown toenail, and you're going to get a much different reaction from me than if you touch my other toe.
That's true.
Okay. So when you find yourself having a $5,000 response to a 50-cent question, you have just been exposed. Something has just been tapped into. There's a negative emotion that's surfacing.
So you mean if I'm like, if you ask me something and I get really defensive right away, I'm beginning to feel some kind of maybe fear, or and that would really lead to, if I stop for a moment and like think about, okay, wait, why am I getting so defensive? Oh, I'm afraid, but what am I afraid of? That feeling, that emotion has led me down to my thought process. And like, why am I afraid? What do I believe about what you're asking me? Like, why is that even an issue?
Why am I getting so defensive? What just happened there? You know, and that shows up in so many different ways, you know, in our lives. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of some several examples. But
well, you have a lot.
I do have a lot. That's the problem. I had to kind of narrow that down. There are so many. But when that really strong reaction shows up, when those really negative emotions are showing up, like even just the depression, you know, or I'm so anxious, I'm panicking, you know, okay, we don't know what to do with that. We've not been trained. We've not been educated. We don't understand the value. So what we instinctively do is we push those emotions down. We, you know, try to cover them up. We get really busy. We shop a lot. We veg out on the couch a lot. We turn to other pain management things.
Or we work a lot.
Exactly. And so all that is, it's our internal way of trying to help us stop the pain. But there is a different way to handle it. Instead of trying to medicate the pain, numb the pain, stop the pain, which is only
forget
a temporary
about the pain,
fix.
Deny
exactly.
The pain.
Exactly. It's only a temporary fix. There really is a process where once you begin to get in tune with this and recognize, oh my goodness, this pain that's showing up right now, if this is really an invitation because it's wanting to expose something that's toxic, a belief that is toxic in me, well, then instead of running from that, I'm going to start really running towards that. I'm going to embrace
that. So run towards the fear.
Run towards the pain, the fear, the anxiety, and begin to unpack that. Because of the way that the Lord has really designed our brains and we are all so interconnected, body, soul, and spirit, your mind is constantly wanting to reveal to you what it has stored, what it is believing, because it is toxic and it is working against you. We just haven't been able to understand, or we haven't known how to read the signs and how to follow the process.
Exactly, what to
how
even to manage our emotions.
Exactly.
It's like emotions start going. You're like, I don't even know what to do. It's like you either want to get really, there's two sides of the spectrum. One is, you know, you kind of freeze up and you stuff the emotion and just forget about it and, you know, don't even deal with it and think that actually deals with it, and it doesn't. Or you're so emotional that you can't think about anything else and it totally begins to run your life and you can't even really make good decisions in that place because you're so emotional. You're being completely led by, like you said, a lie-based emotion.
Yes.
And like we said, that there's truth-based emotions as well, which is how we're supposed to function. And you were saying that, like, you know, we were talking about the freeze frames of your life, you know, like growing up when you're young and it's like everything gets stored in your brain somehow, and it, you know, becomes part of the hard drive in your system. And so it's all a memory, even though you don't remember some of it, but the belief that you had in those, you know, individual freeze frames that turned into the movie clip of your life, the belief is still way back there. And so sometimes our emotions will begin to point to those beliefs.
Exactly. Back to how we started with just the fact that your thoughts are trees, they're growing things. There are emotions that are connected to those memories. And so our memories are what the things that are really starting to produce, you know, all of the pain. So one thing to understand is that a memory is a historical event. The memory will never change. It was real. It happened. What can change is what feels true and what's believed in that memory. And that's what we're wanting to go for.
And the message that you take away from it.
And the message that you take away from that. So that's what we're wanting to really understand, is how then do I process these negative emotions when fear is showing up?
So please tell us, how do you process emotions, and what's the best way to properly manage your emotions and your feelings?
Yes. Okay. Well, we will start, like you were saying, with just the most simplest form, kind of take it back to the reality that the course of your life, every nanosecond of your life is captured in like the freeze frame of a video strip. So here you are at 25 or 45 or 55 years old, and you have a really long running tape of your life. As you've grown, as you've developed, you've gained new skills, new understanding, new knowledge. You can apply things that you learned today all the way back to your childhood. Where, oh my gosh, now that I'm a mom, I totally get how mom reacted. Now I totally get why dad did what he did or what he didn't do, but you're still just throwing knowledge back in experiential belief. And so way we want to process this is when you feel these negative emotions showing up, then just try to get in a really still, quiet place. Just kind of close your eyes and actually allow yourself to feel that negative emotion, which is contrary to design, because we are designed for survival. We are designed to run from pain, not run towards it. Mm-hmm. That's why it's such an effective tool of the enemy, because we don't move towards our pain. But in this moment, I want you to really just allow yourself to feel that negative emotion. And then find out, why is it hurting? What feels true? In other words, what are you believing? What feels true in that negative emotion? As you're feeling the feeling, that feeling is literally going to kind of lift you and float you back through time. You know in your subconscious mind where you have felt this emotion before. You know in your subconscious where this first began. And so if you will allow yourself to really feel the emotion, it will literally just kind of lift you and float you back through time, kind of like the current of a river. And the next thing you know, you'll have a memory that will surface again, because your brain is really wanting you to understand these things, because it's hurting, it's painful, and it's toxic storage. As that memory begins to surface, then kind of embrace that memory is a live, living place in you. That's why it has such a strong reaction when it gets activated, when it gets tapped into. It's very real. It's very in the here I am. Yes. And this is why. So allow yourself to just really move back into that memory. Try not to just watch it or remember it, but really try to get in there and connect.
Like feel it?
Feel what you were feeling. Connect. For example, if you're all of a sudden you're in a memory and you're 10 years old, try to get in there and really embrace, receive that little 10-year-old that you were in that moment, because that's the freeze frame where the experiential belief is being exposed. Mm-hmm. And so
you're getting down to the root of that tree.
Leading down, yes, to the root of that tree. And so once you embrace the 10-year-old you, you know, in that place, then feel what feels really true, and then find out, what am I believing right here? And it will almost always come down to a self-belief. Either there's something wrong with me, I'm not enough, I'm too much, I shouldn't have been born, I should have been a man, I should have been a woman, I should have been... There's just all kinds of self-beliefs that are happening in that place. Or
I'm not worthy of this.
I don't deserve that. Yes. Or that I'm not safe. My environment is not safe. Mm-hmm. And so those are all very negative things. I'm alone. I'm on my own. It's all up to me. Those are a lot of beliefs that come in our childhood formidable foundational years. Mm-hmm. And that's a big burden for an 8-year-old to carry.
Yeah.
When
and then you begin to
dad
carry that
is
for
gone
your whole
and mom
life.
Is, yes. And then all of a sudden this little boy is believing, okay, I've got to be the provider for this family. I got to take care of mom. That's a huge responsibility.
So then when you lose your job as, you know, an older adult male, you're like,
all of a sudden that 8-year-old is kind of panicking and freaking out in there.
Because I believe it's up to me.
Exactly.
But if you can stop and take a moment and just say, okay, clearly I'm kind of getting afraid because I think that it's up to me. But if you get to that point where you realize, oh, I believe it's up to me.
I do believe it's up to me.
And then what do you do?
That's where you just kind of pause. And I know we talk about, even in the book, about the difference between religion and relationship. Mm-hmm. This is where relationship kicks in. Jesus is living and active and waiting for an opportunity for you to ask that question. He is perched right there waiting. And so in that moment, in that pain, in that panic, just ask, so Jesus, what's your truth? And then watch, look, and listen.
Listen for what he says.
Listen for what he says or what he says. And then all of a sudden, the lie has been uprooted. The truth has been implanted because Jesus is experiential. Mm-hmm. And so you suddenly have a new experiential stamp on that historical memory. It's kind of like you've just defused the landmine.
Wow.
And so now, instead of having that panic, that fear that was showing up 10 minutes ago, all of a sudden, I have a new experience.
Because
he's just walked in on the scene. He's just delivered the truth. Mm. Oh, my goodness. None of that feels true anymore. I now have something very positive that feels very true. I've just experientially encountered him. And now you can't convince me of what I was believing a while ago, because I've just experienced something much stronger and
powerful. You guys, this is so powerful. This is so key and so critical to, you know, our health emotionally and mentally. I hope that you're receiving a lot out of this. You know, feel free to go to our website again and re-listen to this, readyforthebigday.com. You know, my bottom line to all of this is, number one, we have a choice when it comes to our thoughts. And to be more mentally successful tomorrow, we need to choose wise thoughts today and not eat from the wrong tree and not let the fruit of that wrong tree continue to produce fruit. So, and number two is, learn to properly value your feelings. Don't run away from them, or don't stuff them, or don't let them ruin your life. But really just value them. In that way, pause, take a moment. Say, okay, there's some reason that it's there, and figure out what the belief is that's driving that emotion, if it's a negative emotion. So be wise when it comes to your emotions, because they are there for a reason, and there's a healthy, productive way of experiencing them. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We really appreciate you. Charlotte, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have
thank
you with
you
us today. Really appreciate, you know, just all that you've shared with us. So next week, we will be back again with a big day, and we will see you then.
The preceding program was furnished by The Big Day, who is responsible for its content.
Greetings from The Big Day. Within a few short days, our newly published book became a bestseller in time management. How would you like to know how to plan for success, transform your weekends, and achieve your goals? Would you like to learn the secrets of turning the seemingly impossible vision you have for your life into a reality and even a legacy? Sometimes all it takes is learning how to utilize and combine both your visionary and your logical sides. And don't worry, we all have them both. But it shouldn't end there. How about using the four areas of mapping and the four areas of planning your time? This is just part of the blueprint for success. And the good news is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. With inspirational and practical strategies for these and many other topics, The Big Day is a life coach that will get you on track to win big in all eight areas of your life. The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple. Buy your copy on Amazon today.
Your alignment, your plan, your thinking, your disciplines, and your attitude. These are the first five of 11 cornerstones that Robert Whipple discusses in his best-selling book, The Big Day. The progress of your life is directly proportional to the direction, condition, and momentum of these five cornerstones. In other words, together, they make up the vehicle you use to advance in life. For this reason and many others, whether it's a push in the right direction or a jumpstart for a new day, The Big Day is your personal life coach to help you move on, move forward, and embark on the adventure of becoming a better you in all eight areas of your life. Don't wait to make the small changes that lead to a big difference. Order your copy of The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple on Amazon today.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
KLIF Dallas. KSCS FM HD2 Fort Worth.
KLIF.com.
A Cumulus Station.